This week kicks off the 16th edition of Art Basel in Miami Beach. You know, Art Basel is a very popular venue. It stages art fairs annually in Switzerland, in Hong Kong, as well as Miami Beach. Now, in Miami, it's always a big cultural event. It's a lot of fun, and it gives the art world a good indication of the direction of budding artists as well as established artists. You know, sometimes I like to take a look at the art market to try to learn the economics of it. You know, art collecting is not like investing in other markets, so it interests me because it is so different. As a matter of fact, I did a segment on this some time ago entitled Why Investing in Art is Like Playing for the NBA, and you can find that on the show's website, stevepomerantz.com. So, to help me get my arms around this somewhat disjointed and confusing market of art, I've invited Lisa Schiff to join me. Lisa is president and senior advisor of Schiff Fine Art, which is one of the leading and internationally recognized art advisors, and she helps to build private collections and also collections for foundations. She's been doing that over a decade. She has offices in New York, Los Angeles, and London. Lisa is also known because she curates exhibitions for the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, and she is an art advisor to Leonardo DiCaprio. Hey, Lisa. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So I never really understood what an art advisor is. Tell us what that role is and tell us how you got into it.
So I look at being an advisor as making the very opaque world of art collecting as transparent as possible. Educating collectors and empowering them to have confidence in what they're buying and what they like.
Interesting. So is there a lack of confidence in the marketplace? Because, you know, how does one know what the real value of something is, so much as about personal taste, as well as what the public likes or what the market likes? How do you discern the difference?
I think, you know, it's really important to understand first the pricing on artworks. And as impossible as that seems, it's actually possible to wrap your head around it, but it's complicated.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, one price here and one price there. It's a consensus of different things that come together to kind of make value. So really helping people understand that it's a big service and it's really helpful. So I'm not here to say you have to buy this because I like it, you know. I'm here to say, okay, if you're gravitating personally, your personal aesthetics towards that, then let me get you the best one of that. Mm-hmm. Let me maybe guide you to a different artist that's similar and better positioned all the way around. So, you know, it's a little complicated, but it's what we do.
So you don't own an art gallery and sell the art itself?
No, there's art gallerists, there's art dealers, and advisors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
So art galleries have most of the time, although this is changing a little bit now with the internet, but most of the time have physical spaces, oftentimes around the world, where they represent a stable of artists and they work very hard to kind of filter into a certain strata of the art world. Because I also want to step back and say there are many art worlds. I'm just talking about one particular one, which I function in, which of course I consider the only one that matters. But, you know, there are various layers of that. Okay. So they represent these artists, they really build content. Mm-hmm. And that's a very important role and a very difficult role to have. It's very hard to be a successful gallery. Mm-hmm. Art dealers buy and sell, they trade. Mm-hmm. And art advisors consult, they give advice. Now, there are people who do all three. So there are art galleries who advise and deal. There are art dealers who advise and deal. And there are art advisors who deal. Okay. I fall into the latter.
So you're compensated by the individual who is out in the art market looking to purchase?
Yes. My client is not the artist. It's not the gallery. Mm-hmm. It is the collector.
Yeah. Your role is very similar to mine as a fee-only investment advisor, by the way. We don't work for any company that, you know, earns fees from what we do. We basically get paid by the individual like yourself. So I really can relate to that. And I really think that it's great because you're in a position of trust because you've got really no skin in the game except to try to do your best to make the right decisions.
Yes. And it took me, you know, I've been doing it now for about 15 years. And a few times I realized, actually it was my lawyer who said something to me one day, you know, just a light bulb went off. He's like, don't forget your client is not the gallery. It is the client, the collector. And, you know, the galleries will deliberately or not kind of try to push you to please them. Like, you know, and you can see yourself getting caught up in some power games where you're trying to impress them.
Yeah.
And I really heard that loud and clear. And I loved hearing it. And I share that with newcomers because sometimes you don't even notice you're doing it. It's very subtle. So, you know, I straddle a very fine line too, because I have to keep the galleries happy because I represent more than one person, but I distance myself a lot as well because I can't get too cozy, if that makes sense.
Sure. Let's talk about the role of foundations in the art market and private collectors. So there was some huge news a few weeks ago that a Leonardo da Vinci painting sold for $450 million. And what was particularly interesting was the fact that many experts said it wasn't even painted by him. It may have been painted by one of his students. What is going on in a market where someone will pay $450 million and it may not even be an original?
Okay. First of all, I was in the room for the sale and there were many layers of drama surrounding that painting. And my take, and everybody has a different opinion on this, but 1,000% this was proven to be a Leonardo da Vinci. There's enough of his hand in this painting to sell it as such. And I think it's so miraculous that this happened. You know, it's one of those stories we all wish that we were the guy who found it in the estate sale and did all the work to it. But it was about over 10 years of working to get this vetted. And it's not easy to do. I knew about it 10 years ago. And they did so much work to kind of get the consensus of experts they needed together, and they did. So I don't really buy it. I also stood in front of it for a long time. And the point is, I don't even care if it's really a real Da Vinci or not. People queued up around the block 10 times over to go see this picture. And that to me was so astounding and interesting because I don't think it was just because it was Leonardo da Vinci. I think that was one major part of it, but it was also a picture of Jesus Christ.
I see.
I am not a religious person, but many people are. And it's a very rare kind of picture for him. He usually does, you know, figures in groups or at least turn to the side, but this was a very iconic frontal image.
Yeah.
Listen, no one ever wants to say anymore that, you know, they're an expert and they can say this is a Da Vinci, but there's enough forensic stuff they can do now and it's well documented. So I don't think there's any question about the authenticity of this at all.
Well, I want to get into that in a minute, but we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Lisa Schiff, art advisor to the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation and to Mr. DiCaprio himself. We'll be right back.